Conti, bella palla per Rebic, Rebic Ibra, Rebic, 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 il tiro, goal!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, back after a week absence. Thanks for the birthday wishes, lads, and thank you to everybody who commented saying happy birthday.
Dude, a lot of people wished you a happy birthday.
Mate, I was genuinely like, oh, what a nice little community we have.
Yeah, I didn't even say it to you.
No, you didn't.
I mentioned your birthday.
It wasn't even my birthday last Wednesday. That's the thing. I was just out for a family meal. My birthday was on the Friday, but
no, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. I said his birthday was coming Friday.
Yeah. So thanks to everyone who said happy birthday. But yeah, back, and you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, joined by Anthony Torgrud.
Yeah, I'm always here, except for when I wasn't a couple weeks ago. But yeah, Torgrud 45. Cool.
I'm always here as well. Are we doing our Twitters again? Is that a thing?
I don't fucking know. Whatever.
I know what I'm going to do. I've figured out the way to fix this. Is we're going to introduce ourselves by name, and I'm going to get them little things, the little that pop up with our Twitter handles. We kind of trialed it, but I want to buy the actual package of graphics that you can get where you can have it. So it pops
up. Oh, that's an actual thing?
Yeah. You can actually buy them.
I wondered how YouTubers did that.
Yeah, it just pops up as a little window, and it makes a cool noise as well. So we'll get that done at some point. I think it's better than us saying our Twitter every time. Before we jump into it, if you haven't entered the giveaway, it closes at midnight on August the 20th. This will probably get uploaded onto YouTube early on the morning of the 20th, so you'll still have time to go and enter. Check it out. It's our pinned tweet. And then if you're listening on Audio Boom, you probably still get there in time for it. So yeah, it closes at midnight on August the 20th. So be sure to get in and a chance to win the new shirt. And I think I've won a bet 50-1 tonight on Gnabry to score from outside the area and Lewandowski to score ahead. So that's paid for my new Milan shirt and probably funded part of the giveaway as well.
How much do you pay for these Milan shirts?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're underestimating the cost.
Yeah, I should say at this point, I only put a quid on. So I got 51 back. But if I'd have put two on, then I could have been able to maybe afford
Single shirt.
It's mad, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean,
are you going to get the home or are you going to get the third?
I'm going to get both.
Yeah.
I'm going to get both, but I think I'll probably get them in separate months. So one this month, one the next.
This is probably something I shouldn't ask live on the podcast, but I'm going to anyways. Are we doing for the giveaway just the home shirt or do they have the option?
Home shirt
at the time. Okay.
Home shirt, but you can get whatever printing on. Well, we use the home shirt in the graphics, but a lot of people have responded with Donnarumma as the thing, and it's like I suppose if they want the goalkeeper shirt, that's fine.
I'm buying that one. Not sure when, but I'm gonna buy it.
Offer it up to whoever wins. I'll say what would you rather have? But I think the majority of people will want the home shirt because it is a beauty. Went around Manchester at the weekend and went into all the sports shops and asked if they got it, and all said not yet. And then I've looked on the websites, and it seems to be that all the shops over here are getting them delivered, like as a physical delivery, on the 19th. That's today, 19th of August.
Is that today? Well, for you, it's today. No, shit, that for me today, it's too.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time zone are you in, dude?
I don't know. Well, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet, but he said we were a day late. He thought it was Thursday.
Bad that. Problem was, I go on TweetDeck and search for like a phrase, so podcast day, and then just copy the tweet, add the image, and send. So I can do it really quickly. And I didn't check. That was the one where we recorded on a Thursday.
I was wondering, how did you mess that up?
It's been a long day. I published the last article, which will come on at 20 past 9 my time, and I logged on at 20 to 9. So it's just been a long day of stuff. But yeah, that article that I wrote was from Sky, and it came just a bit after a Fabrizio Romano tweet. Basically, Ibra's renewing.
Yeah.
So that's good news. Sky is saying that it's going to be around 6 million net. So basically, you've seen it all, you know, if you read the website. We got quite a lot of people complaining about how many Ibra and Bakayoko updates we publish per day. And I'm like, believe me, if I didn't have to write them all,
you're just reading it.
I'm like, oh. But yeah, we think it's important that we update with everything that everywhere says.
And that's kind of the thing too, because Romano actually piped up at some Chelsea fan getting annoyed about how often he's been updating the Havertz story, and he said, you know, it's a transfer market. Things for big players are delicate. There's a lot of updates. It's not FIFA. You know, it's not going to be a done deal in 15 minutes. So there's a lot of updates. Shit takes time. Even if it sounds like it's the same update 100 times over, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, I do get the impression that, like, some of the stuff has been recycled. I mean, it's basically Gazzetta dello Sport who have been running the narrative for the last few days now that there's about 2.5 million in net difference between what we were offering and what Ibra was demanding. We apparently offered 5 mil and he wanted 7.5 mil. Him and Raiola, obviously, they come together. And
that's too much money to pay
him. There was some interesting articles. I mean, Corriere dello Sport and Corriere della Sera both said that... Oh, and Calcio Mercato did something earlier tonight. All of them said that the club were kind of surprised and a bit disappointed with the fact that we gave him everything that he wanted, in that Pioli's staying on as head coach, Maldini will be sticking around... there's going to be some continuity. He's been guaranteed a place at the centre of the team again for next season, and he's playing hardball over a couple of million euros. You know, I mean, for a player
a couple million pounds or euros.
It's like Ante Ibrahimovic, it's pocket change.
I don't think
that's what it is.
Pocket change. I mean, it's definitely a lot less to him than it is to us, but like, regardless, it's the end of his career. He needs to get as much as he possibly can before that retirement that's inevitably coming in the next 2 years. You know, I mean,
yeah, his life is going to drastically change. He can't just spend.
He'll be okay.
He's got his side businesses, and he'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, his clothing line failed.
But the point stands. Yeah, they
shut it down, haven't they?
Yeah.
Say it failed.
Went
out of business.
Which is mad. I never looked at anything and thought I wanted to buy that.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't fashionable.
Like, yeah. You know,
and that's what he was going for. He's got a career in something, be it as a coach, be it as a spotter, as a director, or be it as a pundit. I think he'd be a pretty good pundit, you know?
He'd be a terrible director if he's got the same attitude that he has now.
Yeah, I don't see him being a good pundit.
Not like the winning mentality, but the I'm right, you're wrong mentality.
No, that's true. If he was as outspoken and he'd come out with as many one-liners, then he'd be pretty bad. But maybe you could say that the way that he talks and negotiates would make him a fantastic director.
Yeah, maybe.
So it was tough to know. Like,
I don't think he's...
The 6 million that we're like settling on, we're obviously in the middle. Do we know if there's bonuses on top of that?
6 mil plus bonuses, I think.
So then reach the 7.5 that he's asking for then, basically?
Yeah.
Or more. I bet if we win the league, he's going to get a hefty bonus.
Yeah, but it'll pay for itself.
Yeah, I mean, if we win the league, then fuck it.
That Romano tweet. It's transfers. You should try FIFA career mode and defollow me. Defollow me is fantastic.
Like, here's the thing. If there's a year for us to win the league with Zlatan, it's obviously going to be next year, but Pirlo's at Juve. Inter's not going to win the league.
It might.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people picking into for the league next year, but it just depends. There's a lot still to be done. Juve, you know, they've won it 9 years in a row despite a couple of coaching changes in there. The handshake will reach around 6 million. It doesn't say anything about bonuses, but you've got to imagine there'll be bonuses thrown in there. It's all right. And also...
Say, you guys just moved around.
Yeah, I'm still there, but you two have swapped.
Oh, well, my screen stayed the same, so...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Good. Should be good. I was cleaning my keyboard and hit the video off thing.
I'm a massive fan of loading up on bonuses in deals like this, because if we managed to get like 5 million, we said, look, if you get us to the Champions League, we'll give you 500,000. You know, we'll give you 1 million. It'll pay for itself with the extra revenue. That'll be like 1/80th of the extra revenue that we get from being a Champions League.
Plus, it drives the player to push harder. If we're just guaranteeing them money, then they're like, well, fuck it, whatever.
But not only that, when the team is doing better, the sales are going to be better. There's going to be more jersey sales, more ticket sales. Everything.
Ibra's salary pays for itself in merchandise, without a doubt.
Ronaldo, I mean, everyone was hating on Juve for how much money they're spending on him, but at the same time, like, they profited off of them still, you know? It's like, it is what it is.
Juve is about to go through a revolution. I feel like they're going to get rid of so many players.
Yeah. I think
Lane's probably on the way out.
I think it's been coming for a while. I mean, people are moaning about the idea of Douglas Costa leaving, but players reach the end of their cycle at some clubs. You know, it's tough, but they've still got a spine of players that are pretty good. You know, they're not going to get rid of De Ligt. They're not going to get rid of Bentancur. They're not going to get rid of Dybala.
They might. He was asking for like 20 mil a season.
That's crazy. He's not going to get that anywhere.
No, that's what I mean.
He might get it at Juve, though. I mean,
yeah.
The problem is the players are seeing what Ronaldo's making, and they're realizing that they were more impactful than he was this last season, and they're like, look, I'm worth that.
Bringing in someone like Ronaldo sets a really dangerous precedent when it comes to salaries.
It says 100%. We have the money to do it.
Yeah, so you'd be like, where's that money for me? If not, then some other club will have it.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if there's a lot of like imminent revolutions going on at football, like Barcelona are about to enter a new cycle. Funnily enough, Barcelona.
Call it a revolution or a fucking collapse, like
or a tire fire.
Yeah, God, for
Barcelona
real.
And Juve, funnily enough, did the Pjanic Arthur Melo swap, and since then both have sacked their managers and both have basically committed to going a completely different direction.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's any hindsight with that deal. But yeah, Juve will still be alright. You know, they'll still be alright. They're not going to fall off a cliff. But it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, I'm looking at their squad just randomly while we're on the topic and thinking, are there any players that we could potentially go in and cherry pick? The one that pops to my head again is Bernardeschi. We do need a right winger upgrade, but I don't know if he's the guy, you know, for the money that it would cost and for the... And probably Pirlo likes him. I think he's going to go for an Italian core again.
I'd want De La Feu personally on the right wing.
What?
Wait, does he play on the left side?
From Watford? I'm talking about Juve.
I know. I'm talking about.
No, he's just saying who he would want.
Yeah. Delphi's a left winger generally.
That's what I thought. Or Douglas Costa. I'd take him for sure. How old is he? He's in his 30s now?
29?
Yeah. Oh, I thought he was 28.
I would take him in a heartbeat then.
He's good. He always seems to have a good game against us. And I was thinking, Cuadrado, you know, like, I didn't realize we had a talk about him before the Juve game, and I said, oh, he's better as a winger than as a fullback. And you both corrected me and were like, no, he's had a good season at fullback. And actually, I think, yeah, imagine having him as a right back with Teo on the other flank. Christ, we'd be laughing.
Perfect.
Think of the pace, man. Anyway, yeah, Juve, we'll see what happens. They're interesting. I'm scared about Inter winning the league next season. You know, I thought Juve, they'll be fine as long as they have an established coach who comes in and anyone can make something out of that group of players. Pirlo's an interesting one. He's never managed at senior level.
Never managed at youth level either. He was youth coach for 3 days.
I didn't even think he had his license, but apparently he does.
No, he doesn't have his license. He's because he was appointed coach and because of his player career, he skips – the classes and allowed to just take the exit exam for it. Damn. But it's not like it's not until after the season starts, so he's like basically getting a free pass or something until he takes that, which I'm sure he'll be fine. You know, he's been around
the game
long enough.
It'll be interesting. Like I want to know what system they play now. I like the idea of them playing the 3-5. This is like Semper Juve in it at this point, but I like the idea of them playing a 3-5-2 and going back to what Pirlo knows best from the best teams he played at Juve and for Italy internationally.
Pirlo's the ultimate snake now.
Yeah, he's a wanker. The guy's an absolute wanker. Like the stuff that he said about us and how his head was at Real Madrid while he was with us as a player. And he's like, well, I suppose the consolation was that I won the Champions League with Milan. That was your biggest achievement as a player. Like, show some fucking respect, you know? I've no time for him as a bloke. Fantastic player. When he was in his prime, I loved him. Absolutely loved him. But as a bloke, the guy's an absolute cockwomble. So, yeah. Rant about Pirlo can be topic number one on this. So, where are we? Yeah, Ibra renewing. So, that's all right. That's us sorted for another year. What happens now? Do we just basically say Rebic and Liao are going to be the backup strikers for a full year, and then we address it in a year's time.
It sounds like Pioli wants Maldini to stay around. I bet Maldini's getting some. I bet he's going to get some minutes.
The rumor is though that we see Maldini as either a backup playmaker or as a backup left winger.
Yeah, well, not I also saw he said that Pioli in the interview said that he plans on using Liao as a winger. So that means we're not going to use him as a striker. Is Rebic now a backup striker, or is he now a backup winger?
Or so Rebic has winger. To play every game. He can't be a backup player.
You don't leave right. your top scorer out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, yeah, I didn't mean – I just meant like starting over Zlatan. We know he's playing on the wing. Mm. So Liao is a backup winger, which means we don't have a backup striker. So back to the market we go, right?
So we need a striker and a right winger.
We need the entire right side with the exception of Kessier fixed. And unfortunately, the only thing it sounds like we're doing is getting someone for Kessier's spot in Bakayoko, which is great. That's fine. But the pertinent sides are the right wing and the right back position.
We talked about this, just going back to the striker thing. We talked about it when he signed, about him being just a bandage over Ibra, this has been a bandage over the wound, and it isn't going to really fix anything long term. We've got another year now to figure things out, which is good. But at some point, there's going to have to be a fix. Either we completely change the way that we play, so we don't have a big man up front anymore, or we try and find that replacement big man now and give him a bit of time to grow. Now, again, the rumours are, and this has come from Simone Cristal, from Radio Rossoniera, we think of them as a reliable source, that we're just waiting for Fiorentina to say that they'll let Dusan Vlahovic leave. Now, he's physically, he's as close as we're probably going to get. And the idea is for him to shadow Ibrahimovic for a year and we'll see what kind of a player he is then. I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about... We're having this conversation 1 year on and we're looking at going into the season with Rebic up front. And it's like, before Ibra, we struggled for goals, you know. I just kind of worry.
Well, if we keep the same formation, we need another striker to play up top with Ibra.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing, assuming...
Wait, 4-2-3-1. I lied. It's 4-2-3-1, right? It's not 4-2-3-2.
Yeah, not up top with him, but just like in addition to him is what I thought you were saying.
Yeah.
No, I did my math wrong. Oh.
Some people have been throwing Scamacca out there. And again, we're talking about players here who would come and not mind being a backup. But anyway, this is where it was going. The rumours this week from Spain and a couple of whispers from Italy is that we've been offered the chance to sign Diego Costa.
I take it, but it's not necessary. It's not the right... Not the right...
He is disastrous for the locker room.
Don't care. I like him.
Allegedly.
Don't care. Ibra just built this entire locker room up, and Diego Costa is going to come in like a bowling ball.
Do you think Zlatan Ibrahimovic is going to let Diego Costa do anything like that?
I don't care what...
I think if anyone's going to push back and fight against Zlatan, it's Diego Costa.
I kind of want to do it. Just
I want to see it on like a pay-per-view boxing match. I don't give a fuck about the players. Like,
absolutely brilliant. And then we've got Thingy in there, Simon Kier, who's already fought Ibrahimovic.
Right.
So he could ref it or something. That'd be superb. Nah, the point was that if we were to go after him, it'd be very clear that we're still after a very specific mold of player. He is, you know, Costa's a big physical unit. He leads the line well.
Is he 32 or something? Is he pretty old?
31. He didn't have a great season last season, it must be said.
He's 7 years younger than Zlatan. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got longevity. He never had pace.
Since Zlatan is our star player, our starter, like the catalyst for our team, age has not been a concern of mine at all. You know, we can't say, like, isn't he too old when he's 7 years the junior of Zlatan? You know, even 35.
Okay,
it's
Diego Costa is not going to be where Zlatan is at his age.
I completely agree. But that buys
us
another year.
He only needs to be like that until he's... And he's not going to be like that now. I don't even think he's at Zlatan's level now, to be totally honest.
He's ever been at Zlatan's level.
No. But, you know, I think about it like, right, if we were to go and spend a sum, it would be about 20 million, at least, I would say, on Vlahovic. It would be about 10 plus on the Scamacca, a player like that who's going to come in and play second fiddle. What like the odds of them coming in and trying to recreate anything close to what Ibrahimovic has are very, very slim. Whereas Costa is a nasty player to play against, you know? Defenders hate playing against him.
But
right?
We need a player a with free.
Leader. Yeah.
Oh, is he on a free transfer?
No, his contract runs out next year, but apparently they're just going to let him go.
Yeah, at his age, it's...
On the cheat, he doesn't want to be there anymore, I don't think.
They got too many strikers. They don't need him.
I feel like we try to get a player like Zlatan and Piontek, and he just did not have the same mentality. And we need a player who has the same kind of mentality as Zlatan.
We need someone who's not going to completely mentally implode when they have five games without a goal.
Right.
We need someone who's never going to have five games.
I was about to say, we can't have someone who's going to go that long without a goal. But we need someone who is going to change the mentality of the squad like Ibra has. And
we're not even changing, just keep this current mentality going.
Right. Yeah, because we can't let Ibra leave and then go back to a dumpster fire that we were before he got here.
And that's what's going to happen if we don't find someone similar. And that's why I'm for Vlahovic, but I don't think even if he gets to shadow Zlatan for two seasons, I don't think he'll be anywhere near the level.
He's
just too young, but he has the mold.
You don't just inherit that mentality. You're born with it.
You got to fucking
where the 2 years influence from Zlatan may come good for some of these young players is he might just say, you've got to develop a bit of backbone.
And that's why I think we need one more player who could recognize it and continue that. Because having one in Zlatan's massive. Having two, that's
Thiago Silva?
That's exactly where I was heading.
I was just about to say.
That's where I was going. I think he's still one of the best defenders in the world, and I don't think he's a long-term solution. I think Milinkovic would do better for the team in the long run. But I think Thiago Silva could influence the rest of the players significantly more than if we just fixed the hole at center back with Milinkovic.
What if you sold Romagnoli and brought in Milinkovic and Thiago Silva? I like Romagnoli, but he does not have the captain mentality that you need in a defender.
You're going to get a lot of fucking shit for saying that, and I'm going to get some for saying this. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Thank you.
Now, I'll tell you, if we were to sell Romagnoli, you've got to assume we get 40 mil, north of 40 million. If we get that, we absolutely 100% categorically have to trigger Upamecano's release clause, which is 42 mil. Get him in. He is the long-term answer, without a doubt. Like, watching him for Leipzig in the Champions League, incredible physical unit.
So let me ask you this then. Because we already have... If we're talking Milinkovic already at 40
mil,
if we're talking Milinkovic at 40 mil, we boot Romagnoli out the door at 40 mil, 45, which there's no way we take less than 40. We, like you said, activate Upamecano. Do we then still spend that 40 and have Upamecano Milinkovic as our new backline?
Yeah, all right. Well, got a proposition for you.
Okay.
Get Thiago in on a free as well.
Yep.
We play three at the back. No, listen, hear me out. Donnarumma,
yep.
Thiago Silva in the middle of Milenkovic on the right and Upamecano on the left. Yeah. Hernandez gets to play as a wing back because Upamecano is covered in so much ground on that side. We get maybe Aurier wouldn't be bad as a wing back because defensive responsibilities. Probably. Yeah. Or Emerson, or getting a wing back opens up more possibilities than whatever it might be, yeah. Or even that guy from... his name's evaded me. And then it gives you more options with your midfield three because you obviously keep Bennacer and Kessié in there, but you can either have Calhanoglu in there as like a third creative prong, or it facilitates a move for someone like Tonali to slot into that midfield three. And then up front...
I take back Ayoko.
Ibrahimovic, Rebic, or Ibrahimovic, Liao as a front two. And so, you got I've built the team.
But how much is that going to cost us? Because you're talking...
Matter, man. We can just
throw so many new players in
Barcelona
there.
Need a defender. Romagnoli could be that defender. They need him. They will spend cash. They don't want to leave.
Because I don't want to leave. But if
why don't we say to Barcelona, give us a little bit of cash for Romagnoli plus Samuel Umtiti.
Mm-hmm.
Good defender that they apparently want rid of. He'd come to Serie A and be one of the best defenders, I'm convinced. I'm just absolutely convinced.
Or why would we do that when we could do Romagnoli plus, or they give us cash for Romagnoli and Emerson. And then now we just sell those two. We're still.
I'll just give us Emerson and Umtiti for Romagnoli.
Yeah. Just flat swap. Yeah. Activate Upamecano's release. Good to go.
Bang. We should run the club
into the fucking
Maldini
ground.
Who? We would be ran out of that city so fast.
We'd have no defensive depth.
We're
and Maldini
lose our subscribers over this. Like.
Maldini at 48 would have to declare himself as a player once again and come in for a cup game against Spal or something because we've just have no depth. No, the 3-5-2 is something I've been thinking about for a while, and I do actually firmly believe in it. Because you take out the weak spots in our team are having a good defensive right back, a consistent attacking midfielder. Çalhanoğlu had 12 good games, but we'll see if he carries it on. A right winger, you know, so you shuffle the things around, three at the back, pack out the midfield, and you can still have a creative midfielder. Wing backs, which means Teo and the other guy can just bomb. You know, even Conte might do a job as a wing back, but I don't think so. I think his legs have gone. And we go back to playing two up front.
And we don't have Castillejo.
Why would you change a formation that has gotten us the most goals in a season in over 10 years?
I'm playing FIFA here. There's no news to talk about. I'm just completely going with a random narrative here. But I've been thinking about it. No, because I've run out of feature ideas. I don't know if any of you can tell. I wrote 1,000 words yesterday on why Florian Thauvin would be a fantastic signing for us. And I do believe that.
Devil's Advocate piece?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a hot take. That's what it is.
Well, I put it out there and there were some people who were saying it's not a hot take really. What happened was, for those who aren't familiar, read the piece if you want. But I understand if you don't want to. He's a right winger / right midfielder, so perfect for that. Left-footed, so people are instantly thinking, oh my God, Suso. He's a far more well-rounded player than Suso. So last season, he only played 2 games because he got an ankle ligament problem in September. And he came back in March, but then obviously the season stopped due to COVID. So he's had a lot longer to recover, so his injury shouldn't be a problem. In the 3 seasons prior to that, for Marseille, in the league alone, he's scored 59 goals. You know, that's a lot. For your right winger to average 20 goals per season, that is a lot. And he got 37 assists as well. He was like the second top scorer in the league that season at Cavani when Hamann scored like 38 goals. He finished above Neymar, finished above Falcao.
Is Cavani still at PSG?
He just went to Benfica, didn't he?
Benfica, yeah. Oh, I don't think they've announced it officially yet, but it seems like that's the... They're building a good squad. Like, that Everton Suarez has gone there. Waldschmidt's gone there, who's been really good in Germany. And who's the other guy they signed that's really good?
They just signed a big name on a free. Someone who just left the club. I can't remember who, but yeah. Rui Costa's doing work over there.
He's doing fantastically. And fair play to him. I actually quite like Benfica as a club. If they want Paqueta as well, they know who to call. Thauvin, and he's only got a year left on his deal, and he's apparently available for 20 mil. So you look at Chiesa, who has scored something like, what did he score? He scored 10 Serie A goals last season.
Oh, Jan Vertonghen, that was the guy who just
scored. Yeah, that was it. He's got 10 Serie A goals last season, which is his best season. That is worse than Tovin's worst season for Marseille. So it's like, track records are track records. Whatever you think about the French league, whatever, you know, he's been carrying Marseille for some time now. And I think for our style, he's fantastic. People say, oh, he doesn't track back. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that he tracks back as much as Castillejo or Salamakers would. In fact, it's his good technical ability and his footwork that get them out of so many situations like that. I think he's worth a look, but that was just a random aside piece because I've run out of stuff to write about. Where are we? What's the other thing? Oh, one more name to throw out there that we've been linked with a lot. Mario Mandzukic as a target man.
I haven't followed him since he left Juve. I know he's in China now.
Right? Went to Qatar.
Qatar, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
what's,
he didn't go,
what's he
it
been
didn't
about?
Go great.
If it's not going great, then I don't want him.
Yeah, I think he's been going well, but he's Qatar, so. Right. But he left because of some difficulty and wants to come back to Europe. Knows the league, big unit, whatever. I'm not necessarily for it, but it's just a name that's been thrown out there. And then where else? What was Bakayoko? Right. So there's been so much stuff about this, and it seems to be slowly moving towards a positive conclusion. Sounds like both sides, well, Milan and the player, are optimistic that something's going to get done. First question, is this going to be as good as people think it's going to be? And my second question is, what's the maximum that you'd pay?
No, it won't be as good as people think it'll be, because our system's changed, our coaches changed, the players changed. Bakayoko's not who he was a few years ago, just based that off his performances. But I don't think it'll be bad either. I do think it's a great addition to the squad, and I think he could rotate starts and bench, start from the bench, you know. As far as most I would pay for him, 15 to 18, you know. I mean, there's no reason Chelsea should be making a profit off of this player.
No,
they've loaned him out for four of their five seasons, and the one season he played was poor. So there's just no reason that they should be making exactly what they bought him for, you know. Plus, you'll get amortization. I mean, that's a massive profit. That's almost a 200% return. It's undeserved. It's unjust. But Chelsea are shrewd negotiators, and they've gotten away with that many times over. So they might get it. Who knows?
They can take advantage of our demand in that case, which I think is why there's a bit of a waiting game going on. But, yeah, Maddie, what do you think?
I don't think it's going to be as good as everyone wants it to be. He was our star midfielder a year ago, so he could definitely come back and do it again. I don't think a lot has changed in him the past year, but different players around us or around him in the team, different coaches, different formation, like a lot has changed in the team. I think he'd be a good depth player, and he could come back and get his starting position if he was playing as good as he was 2 years ago. Like AJ, 15 to 18.
Yeah, I did something about the economics of the deal earlier, and basically Chelsea would just about break even on the balance sheet with 15 mil. So I can understand them trying to get a bit out of it, especially they know that we take him back and the player wants to come back. They're not going to make things easy. I think the eventual meeting point will be around 18 to 20 mil. There might even be a paid loan with option/obligation to buy, like there was last time. We'll see.
Not for 35 million, though.
Hell no.
That was crazy.
No, that was stupid. That I don't know where that came from. Well, I do know where that came from, because... No, I get where it come from, because it's the idea that it's a loan with option. So what would happen is, it's a loan. If he has a really, really good season, Milan have no choice but to pay that amount. You know, because they messed up by not bringing him back a year ago, so they'd have to pay it. Or if not, we'd be in a better negotiating position because the player would have 1 year left on his contract. It covers Chelsea. It covers us. You know, I get that, but it seems too high to me as well.
Yeah. No, I saw it as like a bargaining chip, basically a way to get it over the line, get him for a year with zero intention of renewing, no matter how he does. Then he's got a year left, and you could get him either dirt cheap or you can
And we renegotiate that fee. Like Sevilla tried to do with us for Andreas Silva. They tried to get it down to 20 mil. Fair play. So I think it'll end up getting done around the 18 to 20 mark if you include a paid loan or if you include bonuses, whatever it may be. It seems like everyone's on the same page that it comes back. I'm with you two. I think... I hope I'm wrong, and people might accuse us of being negative for saying what we've said, but I think people are going to be surprised when they realise Bakayoko's not the player that he was during his peak at Milan straight off the bat. He might get back to those levels, especially in a double pivot, but when he first arrives, he's not going to be at those levels. I think he's going to be very raw. He's come off an unimpressive season in France back at his... You know, it's not his boyhood club because he's a Parisian, but back at Monaco, you know, where he made a name for himself. And when he was at his peak alongside Kessier with us, he was, you know, fantastic. He was in a rhythm, worked perfectly in a midfield three. He's got to come back and readjust and readapt. And he hasn't played a competitive game now for what will be going on 10 months by the time he...
Wow.
That's wrong. Mental maths in my head. When was the last time they played? It'd be 7 months. 7 months by the time
he like 10
up.
Months he didn't play all season.
No, but yeah.
I guess March was the last time, huh? So yeah, it'd be like October, September when he gets here. So yeah, I guess 7 months. Wow. That's
wild. Which is obviously a long time. So I think people are going to be a bit surprised if he's a bit raw at the start, and that's why I think to slot him into that third position on the depth chart, if you like, is wise. Now, what happens with that fourth slot? I'm not sure. I think Krunic is probably going to go. It sounds like Freiburg, weirdly.
I would keep him
in the Bundesliga. Maybe, but I don't think he's a holding mid. And
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Resign Biglia.
He's going to... Gianpaolo just wants to get the band back together, doesn't he? Rickrod, Krunic, Biglia, and who was the other one? I can't remember what someone else. Bonaventura has been linked, hasn't he?
Yeah. But...
So what's this big news?
So yeah, the news that has just come in, checking Twitter, which is a good job I did. It's not actually that big news at all. New backup left back. So Anthony Robinson, I'm a bit gutted about this, and you two will be too, with him being a USA international. He's going to Fulham for like £2 million, which seems like so cheap for someone with his potential and his quality. So I've seen him firsthand, having watched a lot of Championship this season. Such a shame. It's a shame.
Here's the thing. If he was actually as good as these big teams thought he was, he'd be holding out for a different team and he wouldn't just go to Fulham.
Might be a good stepping stone for him, I'll say that much. But I agree. It also doesn't make a lot of sense for him at this position in his career to go to a club where he's not got a hope in hell of getting a game. So let's say there was interest from Spurs or something. Yeah, you go there, but you're going to be third choice. You know,
right. You go there and get sent on loan to Fulham. You might as well just go to Fulham.
Yeah, and it's a good investment for Fulham as well at that price. I think perhaps he might just be a little bit scarred still from the last time he came to Italy to try complete a move and it didn't happen. I would have liked to see him to us have another go because it would have fixed that problem for years to come. But it is what it is. And apparently there's two new targets now. One of them is a guy we were linked with before. I don't think we've ever discussed him. Matias Vina, who plays for Palmeiras. I don't know an awful lot about him. I watched some bits of him when we were heavily linked in January. He went from... should know. He went from a team in Peru, I want to say, to a team, to Palmeiras in Brazil. I think he's like already leaving after 6 months or something. That hasn't gone to plan. So I don't know. It feels like when we signed Vangione from
play.
Then the other one is a guy called Ayoko from Augsburg. Appears to be their backup left back. The starting left back is that Philip Max, who we were linked with when Ranić was linked. So he's played 10 games as this guy, one goal, one assist. So we really are targeting players who were already backup left backs by the sounds of it. So that's what it is. You know, anything's going to feel like a disappointment when we could have snagged Robinson for such a cheap fee. But so that's the big news. Right, so we'll move on to some questions, shall we?
Yeah.
Some good stuff here. I like these ones. This comes from Heinrich Lunger. I hope I've pronounced that right. My German's not great. What are your predictions for next season? Very broad. Very
generic. Like what kind of just
start with top four, you know.
Bold predictions. Top four is going to be in this order. It's going to be Juventus, Inter, Milan, Napoli. I think we're going to. Yeah, I think they're going to come back. I think Gattuso is a much better coach than he's given credit for, and given a season and a half at a club, he's going to perform.
We should also talk about the fact that they've signed Victor Osimhen and they're going for Jeremy Boga big time. Like, their attack's going to look pretty good compared to some from Milik to Victor Osimhen. It's like, ooh, they could be a problem next year.
I agree. I think they will be. But I think with Zlatan and whatever we get on top of that, having him for a full season, it's going to be just a continuation of what we saw post-corona. You know, I don't think things are going to slow down. I mean, we're obviously not going to go undefeated, but we're going to go on a tear, and it's going to be a fun season, one to look forward to. I'm even going to go as far as to say we might win the Coppa Italia. Going to throw that out there.
We might. That is a factually correct statement. We might win it. We've not been excluded yet.
You're right.
We might win the Europa League too.
That's awesome. Honestly, we might.
I think we make it to. I bet that we make it to the, at least the quarterfinals of Europa League. I think we'll make it to the semis. League play, I bet we finish second. Second. I don't know. Second. I bet we finished. It's possible, isn't it?
I suppose.
It's possible we win, but we're not going.
I can't wait for me to edit this clip and go back in a year's time when we won the league.
I mean, I don't care if anyone, if we win the league,
when you drink water, when you drink water, you look more like a giraffe neck than I've ever seen in my entire life.
I've run out.
Oh, wow.
Okay, back on topic here. Yeah. Okay, I bet I don't think Juve are going to win the league. I think that they're going to have a horrible season. Oliver's choking. Should we call? Is it 911 in
999. Oh, sorry. Just had to mute for that.
I bet Inter wins the league. We come in second, Juve third, Napoli fourth.
I wouldn't rule out Juve if they don't win the league, finishing third or fourth.
Who did you just say is going to win the league?
Me?
You said Inter.
Inter's going to win. You said us second and then Juve third?
Juve third.
It's not completely out of the question. We need to see what Juve do in the market because they've already got a pretty solid spine. And they've got Cristiano Ronaldo. He's not going anywhere.
I think he's going to go to PSG.
So that'd be counterproductive for them. They've already got the best number nine in the world.
I think if they go for any big players, it's Messi. But and I think that fully hinges on how this game goes on Sunday. Because remember, their only goal as a club right now is to win the Champions League. This is their first final ever. If they don't win it, then the only other option is to literally buy the greatest player to ever play the game because they've bought everyone else.
I thought Bonera had retired. So shy. So I'm going with... Do you know what? As things stand, and that's all we can do, I can't base it on us signing Chiesa and me throwing him into the starting lineup, whatever it might be. As things stand, I don't think we get in the top four. I'm worried about us doing it over the season. I'm worried about the changing dynamic of crowds coming back and, things will be different. Things will be different. And also, I look at, Lazio seem to be keeping their squad together. They didn't get David Silva, which was quite funny because Tarry threw a right bitch fit. That was funny. Atalanta. I wrote them off last season and I feel like an idiot for doing it, so I'm not going to do it this time around. But then you've got Napoli, who have strengthened very well. Inter, for me, are favourites for the Scudetto next season now. But we'll see if they do their usual thing. And then it leaves
us. You seem to have forgotten. We had Ibra for 6 months, and those 6 months, we finished second in those 6 months.
We finished first.
We finished fourth. In the 6 months, we finished fourth. In the 12 games.
Post-corona, it was first.
Well, yeah. So that's, if you take the actual sample size,
But remember, Ibra missed 2 months from injury.
We actually did okay without him. That was the weird thing. But at the moment, I think we can't assume that we're going to be fine. And by keeping everything together, we're going to get a top four finish because you just don't know. All it takes is for us to start the season badly and the media pressure will be right back on. We'll see. At the moment, I think we just miss out. A couple of wise additions. We short that right side. Then I'm going to be as optimistic as you guys.
Pioli's going to take us to the glory land. All right.
Can you imagine if he does? Can you imagine if he's the coach who ends our trophyless drought?
I hope he is. Shame on the management for trying to replace him.
Bring in Ranić halfway through the season.
Could you imagine?
That'd be jokes. I don't even know where to go with that. Europa League, again, people think of it as this joke competition where it's like, if you've got a half-decent team in a half-decent league, you've got a shot of reaching the last four. It's
10,
not,
8 years ago, yes, because I don't think people took it seriously.
I don't think people take it seriously now.
Man United won it 3 years ago. I guess they're trash, so it's not a good example.
With Zlatan, yeah.
He didn't play, though, did he? Because he was injured. But
he got injured in the semis.
With Mkhitaryan. Let's take him. Let's get him from Roma.
Oh, God.
Okay, you're off the pod.
Is he on?
Don't need that.
Dinner time.
I'm out.
Might be. Yeah, I'm going to say we probably quarterfinals, maybe something like that, and we get a German team and get knocked out by them because I'm surprised at how good they are.
Germany is ruling the world right now in the soccer sense.
Just frigging Bayern, man. They're a machine. You look at their bench tonight. It's actually scary. Right, so this is an easy one or a simple one. Carlo Fassi says, you can only pick one to sign, Chiesa or Tonali.
Tonali. Easy.
Tonali.
I think it's a position we need less than where Chiesa would play, but I don't like Chiesa.
I don't like him either. Chiesa,
the reason
he's got a punchable face.
He does. Yeah, he really does. He's got a face. Chiesa.
Kind of like Oliver?
Well,
or
I
me.
There you go. Because
Chiesa kind of has his hair like that. Maybe that could be my face could be over
Chiesa's. I do want to hit you now.
you don't normally. Right, I'm going to do this and have this as the thumbnail. Me as Chiesa. Yeah, it fixes a need on the right side. Pioli's worked with him before. And Tonali, I think, is an expensive gamble. I think he's an expensive
gamble.
We will see how he does.
Listen, the last 10 years have been a gamble. Let's just keep it going. It's time to pay off.
This is a follow-up question from Michael Gambino. Multiple rumours of Tonali to Inter being done. With all this money being rumoured to be spent, why was securing him not the only choice? What went wrong, in your opinion?
Can you ask that question again? No, I think the idea of Bakayoko being a cheaper option, one that's been proven at the club, I think that makes more sense for what we're trying to do. I mean, we know that we're looking at a lot of different profiles at one time, Tonali being one of them, Bakayoko being another, but also, we're only going to make one marquee signing this summer if we do make one, and it doesn't have to be a midfielder because arguably that's where we need a player the least. So yeah, I think it makes more sense to spend less money on a player that we know will do well in Bakayoko and spend our big money on a right winger or a right back or, you know, center back, somewhere where we do need help. So I think that's the issue.
Your marquee signing can't be some 35 million quid on someone who's going to come in and be the third choice midfielder.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And Bakayoko makes a lot more sense.
Silva. I would take Bakayoko over.
I don't know what you're
dream. Is that the question?
No.
What was the question?
Tonali or Chiesa. That was the original.
Oh, we're still on.
No. The follow-up question was, what went wrong? Why haven't we got Tonali? I think also there's a thing, you know, he agreed
because
personal
you go
terms
to
with
us,
Inter.
Or do you go to Inter, who's in the Champions League? I don't care who you liked as a kid.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, it really is.
It's an easier project to pitch, you know, working under Conte in a three-man midfield. He's going to get his game time.
Yeah, the kid looks good in blue, too.
Barella's turned to a scary player, which annoys me. So, Nurziz Octavio Wan, it says, all the talk of renewals that are going on at the moment, who do you think should be the three highest earners in terms of salary at the club?
So, Donnarumma and Romagnoli.
There we go. No, Romagnoli's leaving, remember?
Well, yes, but in this...
We've already sold him to Barca.
But if he stays, he's captain. It makes sense that the captain would be a high earner, so...
I think Donnarumma, Ibra, and Messi.
Yes, I agree. But Messi, the third highest.
It's tough to...
With $4.5 million a year.
I'll throw something controversial out
there.
He
can't be over the salary limit.
Yeah, two and a half.
He's going to be at two and a half.
Two and a half for Messi. He's got to earn the number 10 also.
Yeah. It has got to be Romagnoli, you know, as club captain. However, we've had this discussion before. I think we should be a little bit worried about the fact that we're paying Bennacer and Teo Hernandez not that much, and they've become two of the league's best in their position. We're going to have to renegotiate those deals at some point.
Yeah, I think Donnarumma deserves to be the highest paid player on the team.
Calhanoglu's going to go into the top three, I think, with his renewal. He's going to be on about three.
I think the entire team deserves a little pay raise, especially...
Fucking hell, no.
Just deserves, probably... But am I going to offer him? Fuck no. You got a contract. You're going to hang out until it's time.
Just load it up with bonuses. We're going to pay you £1 per game.
Yeah.
And if we win, then you get an extra mil.
For every successful cross, they get £1,000.
Agreed.
Tell Calabria that.
Exactly.
Every successful cross, you get $1,000.
He's going to leave the season with $0.
He's going to be homeless.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
So, hang on, I'm just trying to refresh the list of questions. So this one comes from OllieD97. Good name, I must say.
Bang average.
Probably has a punchable face.
Predict the start in 11 for the first game of next season.
All right.
Serie A, let's go.
I'll say, okay.
Yeah, okay, so.
Ibra up top. I'm going to go backwards.
Going that
I'm
way.
Starting up top, yeah. Oh, Ibra up top with Rebic on the left, Çalhanoğlu in the middle, Liao on the right, Bennacer and Kessier, center defensive mids. Teo, Romagnoli, Thiago Silva, and I have no idea who's going to play right back. The club wants to keep Conte, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, we the reason that I haven't mentioned it is because it was Gazzetta who said it, and they've been very, very anti-Milan, like, with the Ibra stuff, and I don't know. I just don't know how serious that is. I think he's just going to be a backup right back now, Conte.
So then, I don't know who are we linked with at the right back? Is that Dumfries,
Emerson Royale, Serge Aurier.
That's
he the guy
be.
From Tottenham?
Yeah, it's gonna be him.
It's gonna be Aurier. I've got him in mind.
With Donnarumma as a goalie.
Which one?
Antonio.
go. Oh, I missed that guy, man. We need to throw him in there for the Europa League. He needs to be our specialist Europa League keeper. That'd be great. So I think
he's never had a loss as when he started.
He's not even conceded a goal.
Yeah.
He's been genuinely
perfect in all of his
games. He's the only player in the club's history to play over 300 minutes and never concede a goal.
Are you kidding me?
No, genuinely.
Good for him.
That night, was it against Spal, I think, in the cup when we won 3-0 and Anto started. And I was tweeting all kinds of shit after the game about like his face over a goat and...
He did 120 minutes against Inter in the
That was why. So he started three games.
Yeah, he's only had three.
He's 270 minutes, but because one went to extra time, that's the 30 extra minutes to go towards the 300 plus record, which is amazing. Fair play. I can't wait for us to stick him in there against like Napoli in the round of 16, and he gets four put past him, and it's like no. Shows over everyone.
Conceding two goals every 100 minutes.
Or the genius continues. Either one is great. I hope he gets games in the Europa League because that in itself is going to be an incredible story. Like, there'll be riots. Tito Sport said that he might leave and there will be riots if he leaves. Like, Casemiro Milan will burn if Antonio Donnarumma leaves the club this summer. God bless that man. So I'm going Donnarumma in goal. Aurier at right back. I don't like it. I would much rather sign Dumfries for the same amount because he's younger. He's a leader because he's captain at PSV. Physical mould, etc. But it seems like we're going with Aurier. Trust Maldini on that. I think it'll be Kier. I do think it'll be Kier who starts the season, even if Milenkovic arrives. And I think Romagnoli. Teo Hernandez, Bennacer and Kessier. Yeah. I think.
Look like you're about to say Bakayoko.
No, I was thinking I was going to predict Kessier to get an injury or something, but I thought that's a bit insensitive. And Rebic on the left, Çalhanoğlu down the middle. Federico Chiesa will be our starting right winger next season. That's my bold prediction. I think something happens. I think something happens and he comes in. And I think Zlatan Ibrahimovic will start up front.
Shocker.
And I think the manager will be Ralph Rangnick. Oh dear. Allenatore. Yeah, that's it, boys. I don't have any more questions unless you've got all you want to add.
Does AJ get to do his starting 11?
I was just gonna go, whatever.
I think he's probably gonna be the same, but go.
Oh, okay. Well actually, I won't be the same. We'll do Begovic in goal. We're gonna go Conte on the right. We're going with Sakio and Thiago Silva. We're going to go Laxalt on the left. We'll go Krunic and Brescianini holding mids. We'll go. Halilovic returns. He's going to be our right wing.
Oh, my God. Is he still alive?
I don't know. Daniel Maldini.
I think he's alive. I don't know if he's playing.
You know, Halilovic will be left. Salamaker's right. Daniel Maldini in the middle. And Colombo up top.
What about that?
The only return is Conte, our best player.
Kalulu starts on the right.
Yeah, Kalulu, actually.
There we go.
Yeah. Honestly, right. I would.
The thumbnail of this is going to be a mock-up of that lineup. It's just going to be... Oh, excellent. That, seriously, is a Europa League team. You know, like when you do a FIFA career mode and you instantly create another squad sheet that's just the backup for every position just for pointless cup games?
Yeah.
It wouldn't look too bad. Like, I'm thinking about it now. It's probably going to be Begovic, by the sounds of it, is going to come back for next season because Reina's going, which is okay. And then you've got Conte. As it stands now, you would have Gabby and Musaccio, but hopefully it'd be like Gabby and Milenkovic or whoever comes in. Back up left back, let's say Vina for now. And then you're looking at Bakayoko, Pobega. And then you've got Leal wide left, Salamakers, Castillejo, whatever on the right. Maybe Daniel Maldini is an attacking midfielder, or maybe we sign Miranchuk or something like that to rotate.
I'm not against that. I like Miranchuk.
And whoever you want up front, then it could be Colombo if we sign anyone else. You know, it looks better. You know, Pioli said in his last post-game press conference after Cagliari that he wants two players in each position. So I think that's what we're kind of pushing towards, two functional players in each position.
I think if Pioli wants to prove himself as like an elite manager, he needs to bring Felipe Mexis back and convert him to a striker.
I was thinking about that.
He did play as a striker once, didn't he? No, remember against Lazio, we put him up front.
Who was that kid from Morocco?
Hakim
Mastore. We should bring him back.
Great player. He's actually playing for, I think he's at Regina now, who is the team that
and they just got Cesare's
got into, and they just got Serie B's out of FIFA. Menez. You got Menez as well.
And FIFA just removed Serie B, so you can't use them. They lost the rights? I don't know. I didn't ask. I'm not friends with EA. Everyone has rights, Ollie. This isn't...
It's just 2020 that we live in.
Yeah.
Right. That's it, I think, isn't it?
Cool.
We're done.
Later, boys.
Cool. Right, thanks for listening, everybody. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter, at Ollie Fisher, or at Coping Chronicle for some more bollocks. Anthony Targrood can sign off now.
I can sign off. follow us on Twitter, the website at SemperMilan.com. Subscribe, hit that notification bell, like the video. We didn't hit 100. That's why Maddie and I didn't shave. But yeah, you know, whatever. Have at it.
Yeah, Shannon was not happy when I told her about that challenge. I go, we're not going to get 100 likes. Don't you worry. We're getting married in 2 months, and she doesn't want me to like look like.
Yeah, I don't want you to fucking look stupid Oliver. Either. That.
We're getting 100 likes now. I'll do something to make sure we get them.
Oh, the great challenge is over. You guys can go ahead have to be and follow me on Twitter at Madison_Tove or Edward_Tove.
This dude doesn't even know his own Twitter.
He'll get used to it. Yeah, thank you for listening, everybody. We'll catch you in a week's time.
Andrea Conti, bella palla per Rebic. Rebic Ibra. Rebic. Il tiro. Goal!